And I really have no idea. And I know I have no idea, but I'm so grateful for Chris. I'm so grateful for my mom. I'm so grateful for you mothers, because it's not a quick and easy job. Chris is still mothering. We don't have anybody in the house, but it's a never-ending job, and it's one that I don't believe we dads could really handle. And that's why God didn't give it to us, which I'm glad. But, and I think our kids are glad too. But I do want to praise the Lord for you, moms, because it's not a quick, easy job. But God gave you a responsibility. He gave you, in that responsibility, he gave you a blessing that us guys will never experience. But you are, and you should, and you do. So this time I'd just like to pray real quick. Father God, thank you so much for the mothers represented here, Lord, for the gracious gift of mothering. Father, as I've looked in Scripture and looked out at the world, we read of your love. We read of that agape love, that unconditional love. But Father God, I think the closest example we have of that is the moms. The mother who goes through such a task in having that baby, Lord God, and then directly loves on that baby. And Father doesn't just leave them in the room, say, well, the fridge is over there, diapers are over there. But Father God cares and nurtures for that baby all the way up and while they're older. Lord God, that's the closest picture we have of agape love. So Father, we thank you for that picture. We thank you for the hearts here represented in moms. I pray that you would continue to bless them. You would help them to experience that blessing. Because Father God, motherhood at times is so rough. And at times it's disheartening, and at other times it's so overjoying. Father, I pray that you would give them the strength, the young moms the strength physically, the older moms the strength mentally. As Father, they have raised their children and placed them in your hands because, Father God, we're not in control. They're not in control, but you are. But you gave them a special privilege and a special gift. And Father, I pray that you would bless them today with a special day, that you would help them, the ones represented here especially, to be uplifted and encouraged today as we honor them. We love you. We honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn into your Bibles, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. We are going on. We're going to finish what we started last week. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be reading verses 22 to 25 today. I'm going to start in verse 19 so we can get the context of it, what we looked at last week. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this, your word. Lord, I pray that you would teach us, that you would guide us, that you would lead us in your truth. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Hebrews, I don't really want to go through every week I try and and get you something that it, I know it's repetitious, you know, how the book started, what the purpose of the book, the writer. And I do that on purpose so that you can think through the book. Because by the end of the book, usually we can kind of know that, you know, we're not sure who wrote it, but he wrote it to show the superiority of Christ. And we go through the whole, you know, because of unbelief, because and how he was superior to everyone, to the old covenant system. And so we go through all that. But and I want you to learn that. But because of time, I'd like to get into this today. What we looked at last week... what we looked at last week is we're comparing the old covenant to the new. So what we looked at last week was a picture of salvation. A picture. When he says, therefore, brethren, he's talking about his fellow Jews. He's talking about those who should have known about salvation. Those who we find out from chapter 6 just simply haven't believed at this point. They're part of the church body here. They're part of the people, and yet they aren't part of the church. They haven't believed. And so he wants to show them a picture. He says, since we have confidence, we now have an opportunity. We have confidence to enter the holy place. So we have confidence to go in by the blood of Christ. It has to be by the blood of Christ, a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God. So he's using pictures that the Jews would have understood. Pictures of that high priest going in and understanding that no one could go behind that veil, and now he has opened up the veil through the blood of Christ. So the picture of salvation is it's wide open, and you can come with confidence, you can come with boldness into God's very presence, which they would never have done under the old covenant system, under the religious system. And what we're talking about is the old Jewish religious system, and we can compare it today to any religious system. Under any religious system, you don't go boldly before God. You go in fear and in trembling, and yet we can go boldly before God because of what Jesus Christ did. And yes, we still fear God. We stand in awe of God, but we're not afraid of God anymore because Christ, he has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when we trust in Christ, when we accept that, when we believe and receive, according to Romans 4 and 5, we take that gift of salvation, then we have a relationship with God in which we don't stand in being afraid of God. We stand in awe of God, certainly. But we also know of what he has done for us and his love for us. But let's go on. Verse 22. Now, because of that backdrop, because we can have that confidence in salvation, look what he says in 22. Because this here is the writer's plea. It's how to gain salvation. So we had a picture of salvation. Now he's pleading with them how to gain salvation. Look what he says. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. How to gain it, because of what true Christianity looks like, because there are those advantages over a religious system, we have Jesus Christ as our high priest. Because of all of those advantages, the picture of salvation, he says, let us draw near, excuse me, let us draw near. To draw near means to, literally it means to approach, or to move towards, or to seek association with. So what he's saying here is to seek association with. Now the amazing thing about this is this word in the original language is in the middle voice. And it's a subjunctive, which literally means he, in the middle voice means this, that he's telling them to do the action. He's telling them to do this. And a subjunctive means it's a possibility or a probability. So what he's saying here is, look, here's the picture of salvation, what it looks like. Now, take the step and do it. Take the step and believe. Because you see, they had a choice. Everyone who has ever lived has a choice to believe or not to believe. You say, well, now, the salvation is the work of God. Absolutely. Salvation is absolutely the work of God. But he gives us the opportunity to believe. He says, whosoever will may come. He gives us an opportunity. And in fact, here, it's a possibility. And it's in the middle voice, which means it's their responsibility. Draw near. Take this. And that's why in Romans chapter 4, He says, believe. And in Romans chapter 5, he says, receive, lambano, receive. So you have pisteo, believe, and lambano, to receive, to take that free gift, to take that. So he's urging these people, he's pleading with them, saying, draw near. Here's what salvation looks like now, draw near, take that, grasp that, make that choice. Draw near. How? How? How do we do that? Well, he gives four things. And these four things are very telling. Look what he says. It says, draw near with a sincere heart. A sincere heart, that's the first thing. Sincere, the word sincere literally means truthful. A true heart. A real heart. That's what the term, you can translate that word true or truthful or real. So he says, draw near with a true heart, because what they were drawing near with wasn't a true heart. It was an unbelieving heart. It was a heart that said, yeah, I want to be part of that group. Yeah, I want to be part of that fellowship, but I just can't go all the way in trusting Jesus. We're getting persecuted here. We have circumstances that are hard here, so I think we ought to go back under that religious system. I think we ought to find a religious system that's more comfortable. So they were viewing Christianity as a religious system, not a relationship with God. And because of that, he says, draw near with a sincere heart, with a truthful heart. Be true in what you are saying to God. Be real in what you are saying to God, in drawing near to God. Be absolutely truthful with him. Why do we need to be truthful with God? Does he not know about anything else? Does he not understand our heart? No, he knows us. He knows us. And that's why I ask that now, again, we're talking about salvation, but even in our Christian life, sometimes we go to God and, I can hide that. No, you can't hide anything from God. He knows us. He knows our heart. So we go to God with a truthful heart. But he's talking to people here who needed to trust in God. He says, come with a sincere heart, a truthful heart. That's the first thing. Look at the second thing. In full assurance of faith. Full assurance. The word full assurance means completely certain. In complete certainty of faith. Not doubting. Complete certainty of faith. Now we're going to see what faith is and what it looks like. In fact, the next chapter in Hebrews 11 is called the Great Faith Hall of Fame. It's a people who were in the Old Testament that had faith. And we're going to see that list and we're going to see what happened to them. But the first verse there in chapter 11 says, now faith is, when you see faith is, here's a definition. It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You know what that means? The assurance of things hoped for. In other words, what I hope for, what I know is true because of Scripture. That's our great hope, by the way. It doesn't mean, boy, I hope it doesn't rain anymore. No, that's not a hope that's founded on anything. Unless you're founding it on your weatherman, which is really not a good idea. But this is a hope that we're founding. Our foundation is God's Word. It's truth. So we know that our hope is true based on the fact that God said it. And so that's why he says a full assurance, knowing that what you have faith in, knowing that what God said is true and will happen. We went over that a little bit in Sunday school. Having a complete assurance, knowing that this is true. And we get into chapter 11, he says it's the assurance of things hoped for, the essence or the conviction of things not seen. Knowing that I can't see heaven, but I absolutely can tell you 100% that it is true. Because God said it's true, right here. I can't see that God is blessing me this last week. But I can tell you absolutely that he has. I know he has, even though I wasn't experiencing that. Because I wasn't experiencing what God wanted me to understand last week. So it's knowing, it's having that full conviction that what God says is true. Because faith is the word believe or trust. Okay? That's the same word, pisteo. It's believe, trust, or faith. So in verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a truthful heart, sincere heart, in full assurance of believing, in full assurance, complete confidence in believing what God said is true. And then there's two more. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Remember we talked about the evil conscience part? We talked about having a clear conscience before God. How does that happen? Because of the blood of Christ. Could never happen with the blood of animals. So the system they wanted to get back under was an incomplete system, but Jesus offers a complete system. So the writer here says, look, here's the picture of salvation. Come to God, draw to Him. You in and of yourself, do this. Come to Him, make that choice with a truthful heart in complete confidence that what God says is true, and complete confidence and belief, and number three, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Having our hearts sprinkled. Now this is a picture that they would have understood, because when the priests would, especially the high priest on the Day of Atonement, this is one thing that I just found out this week. He would, remember we talked about what the high priest did and how he had to offer, he had to kill an animal and take the blood in for himself, and then kill another one and take the blood in for the people, for the nation, for sins that were unknown. And when he did that, he would kill the animal, he would collect the blood, and as he walked, what I didn't know before, but as he walked in, he would sprinkle the blood as he walked to cleanse the way. And when he got in there, he would go behind the veil and sprinkle the blood so that where he walked was clean, because that blood would cover over sin. Remember? Well, now Jesus Christ, His blood cancels out sin. His blood cleanses us from sin. And that's having our hearts sprinkled in such a way that it clears us from an evil conscience. It clears us so that our whole conscience before God, not before others, didn't say that, but before God is clear. Now, if I should steal from you, or if I should lie to you, I should come and tell you. I should make that right. But before God, I've already made it right. He's made it right in me. That's how it can be clear. Now, what I want to show you is look at that word, sprinkled. That word sprinkled is actually in the perfect tense. Have our hearts completely, totally sprinkled, and it's in the passive voice. Which means God does that sprinkling. You don't. You draw near to God. You take this salvation, but He does, and you do it with a sincere heart, a true heart, and knowing that what God said is true in faith, but He does the sprinkling. He's the one that takes the blood of Christ, sprinkles your body with your conscience to clear it. And that's part of salvation. You realize that? He cleanses you from the inside. Not only that, but look at the fourth thing. And our bodies washed with pure water. When the priests were sacrificing, they sacrificed all day long in the temple. And there was a laver. But anyway, there's a big basin full of water. And they would sacrifice and get all bloody. They would come over and they would wash. And so they were always washing to get clean again, to get cleansed so that they could sacrifice again. And that was the picture they had. But this water, this pure water, is also associated with the blood of Christ. Because it's what cleanses our bodies. It's what cleanses us completely. Look what it says. Not just our inside, our evil conscience, but also our bodies washed with pure water. You know, there was the blood of the animals that they wanted to get back under this religious system. The blood of the animals could never do anything for the inside of the person. It covered over their sin every year. It covered over their sin, and every time they would come and sacrifice, it covered over the sin, but it never cleansed them. And that was always the picture from the old covenant to the new. And here they were wanting to get back under that old covenant so that they wouldn't be persecuted, so that they would be more accepted, so that they would have their circumstances better. But they didn't understand that that was a picture to show that what they could have here is complete cleansing. Complete cleansing. And that also, that word is also in the perfect tense. completely cleaned. And it's in the passive voice, by God. And both of those words are participles, which means it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing thing. And it continues. That's why we have 1 John 1:7. So many of us know 1 John 1:9, but 1 John 1:7 is actually for the Christian. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, and everywhere in the New Testament where it says light, you're talking Christians, where it says darkness, you're talking the unsaved. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And when we sin, we continue here because we have fellowship with each other because if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. And that's a participle. Continually cleanse. And it continually happens because the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's not our doing that cleanses us from sin. It's God's doing. It's his doing. So there is how to have the salvation. Right there. Draw near to God. Believe. Receive. And let him sprinkle your inside. Let him sprinkle your outside. Wash you. Let him do the job of salvation. And you have salvation. So this was a picture of salvation. Now he has the way of salvation. He has the how to gain that salvation in verse 22. Look in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Oh, man. Okay. Can I make this a three-part sermon? Because last week, I know I said I would make it a two-part sermon. But I don't want to... the next three verses are very rich. And I don't want to hurry through them. I want you to see the value of knowing him. And I understand that there, I think most of you here, or all of you, I don't know, but most of you at least, have been saved. And you have this. You have this. But what I want you to see is what this means to us in a relationship manner. Because folks, we here, you here, are not part of a religion. You are not part of the Baptist religion. You are not part of the Christian religion. You are not part of the ecumenical religion, evangelistic. I don't know how to say it. Anyway, it's not a religion. All right? But I don't want you to think that it's okay to be under a religion, because it's not. Because every religious system has demands that you cannot meet because of the perfection of God. Whatever God there is, whatever God there is demands perfection. And as a religious system, you have to do enough so that God isn't angry with you. Folks, God is not angry. He is loving. He wants that relationship. If you've never trusted Christ, this is how you can have it. Take the step of drawing near. Take the step of being associated, of grabbing into that. Believe, pisteo, receive, lambano, to come with a sincere, a true heart before God. And in complete confidence in the faith, in trusting, in believing what he says. And let him sprinkle your heart from that evil conscience. Let him wash your body with pure water, with the blood of Christ. All of this is associated with the blood of Christ. Isn't that cool? That is not your blood. That is not your problem. That's his, and he did it. And he did it so that you can live your life without an evil conscience, so that you can live your life without coming to God and saying, Father, you know, I sinned, and I just need forgiveness because, God, I just know you hate me now. No, he doesn't hate you now. He loves you. And yes, we come before, when I sin, Lord, I did it again. I did it again. I don't want to do it, and I still did it. And so I go back to Romans 7. I'm doing what I don't want to do. I don't do what I do want to do. Who can save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? I always go back to Romans. I love Romans. But love Hebrews too. But think about it. Think about it. This is the way of salvation. And it's His doing. It's His doing. All we are is just to draw near to that. All we are is to give Him us. In all honesty and all faith, to give Him us. And let Him do the cleansing. And then, what's going to happen after that, we're going to learn next week. Because I don't have time this week. But what's going to happen after that is amazing. And he wants them to know, okay, here's the picture. Since you have a picture of salvation, what it is, and here's how to gain it. And then after that, it's, I'm going to look ahead. It's not written on here. Oh, it's how our, okay. How our thinking changes. There it is. How our thinking changes. How our life changes because of it. And yes, he's speaking to the unsaved here. Yes, he's speaking about salvation. He's a picture of it, and then how to gain it, and then how our thinking changes, how our actions change because of it. But he's wanting to show them the value of having a relationship with God. The value of knowing God personally. And he's doing that. He's doing that, pointing them to a religious system that can never offer true freedom and peace. And pointing to a religious system, or not a religious system, pointing to a relationship that does offer true freedom and peace and a clear conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then the question comes up, well, if I have a clear conscience before God and my bodies are clean before God, I can do whatever I want. I can sin any way I want. Really? Is that the motivation? It's kind of like, well, my mom is wonderful and she's put up with me for, 61 years and she's loved me and she's, you wouldn't believe what my mom did for me growing up. I mean, we had no money and I needed a wrestling outfit and we couldn't afford it. She made me one. I needed to make signs for a place that I was painting, and she made it. She figured out how to make. My mom was very resourceful, exceedingly loving, and I take all that love. And today I say, you know what? My mom loves me so much. I think I'm just going to go steal her car. And she would, she'd forgive me. I know she would. I could go take her car right now, and she would forgive me. She would go out and get a different one. Her and Dad. They would. They would forgive me. Why would I ever want to do that? That would be totally against who my mom is. Totally against what I would want to do. See, there's the idea of, hey, should we just go ahead and sin? Because God forgave us. God made us clean from an evil conscience. No, absolutely. It's got no part of my thinking. I haven't ever wanted to do that with her. Why? Because she loves me. We love God because what? He first loved us. When we understand how much He loved us, then our relationship grows. Not a religion, a relationship. In a religion, oh, so fun. Wednesday, I know I'm going over time. Sorry. Wednesday night, we were talking about something. One of the little gals in town, Lizzie, she ended up moving. She left for Florida, and she wrote something up on the board. And she said, "Do not erase this." Up on the board downstairs. And one of the kids looked at it and says, "Oh, that says do not erase this." It makes me want to erase it. It makes me want to, I really want to erase it. Well, that's religion. Religion says do not. What's that make you want to do in your flesh? I want to do it. Chris's mom used to put things in the refrigerator and she would put do not eat. Man, I wanted to eat that. Because it said, do not do it. So it had to be fun. It had to be good. So I wanted to, that's what religion does. Guess what a relationship does? Relationship says, I love you so much that I've completely forgiven you for everything. And my flesh says, well, don't you want to do everything? I said, no, because I love Him. I don't. I don't want to completely go against that nature. You see that love? That's what we're talking about, in a relationship, not a religion. Now, he's warning these people, and he's seeking to help them understand that they haven't believed, but they need to. Folks, if you've never trusted in Christ, here it is. Here it is. You've had a picture of salvation, and now you have the way of salvation. And what we're going to learn next week is how our thinking process changes when we have salvation, and how it goes completely against the world, but it changes. And I know he's speaking directly to them because of what they are doing, but we can learn from it too. Folks, if you've never trusted Christ, please gain that relationship. Don't rely on a religion. Religion will never get you to heaven. But a relationship with Christ will. It will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You who have trusted in Christ, look, there's so many people, when I was growing up, so many people said, well, you got to pray this way. So I'd go home and pray that way. Say, well, you got to pray this way. So I'd go home and pray that way. Well, you got to believe this. So I'd go home and believe that. You know, I got one of these kids that grew up in the church that sang that song. You know, you must be born again and again and again and again and again and again. Because I didn't know. You know, I was always, no, I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation here. Because this is of God. And all it is believing, receiving, accepting that truth. And if you have done that, if you trusted him, then he has sprinkled your hearts clean from a guilty conscience, an evil conscience. He has washed you with pure water. So live it out. Live it out and show that to others and help others see the beauty of salvation. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your love. It's so amazing. And Father, how you have blessed us with such a good picture of that with mothers. How you have given us a picture so we can actually sort of, kind of, somewhat see what that unconditional love looks like. Father, you loved us with a greater heart than even mothers have. But you sent your son. And it's because of his sacrifice we can have this relationship. So I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, they would take this to heart and draw near to you. In the middle voice, they would draw near to you, and the possibility is there. It's right there. Make that choice. Come with a sincere heart, Lord God, a truthful heart, and full assurance, full confidence in faith, in believing what you say is true. And Father, you'll do everything else. You'll do the whole work of salvation. You'll sprinkle their hearts clean. You'll do the washing. And Father, they will be called a child of yours. But Father, those who have trusted in you, I pray, Father, that they would see the value again and anew of salvation, of knowing you. And Father, that as we go on with this and see how our thinking process changes because of this, that they would reach out for others and show them that love. Help us, Father, to love you. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.